Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Breaking Blindness Barriers Discussion Group. Today is September 20th, 2025, and we are going to be discussing all things Apple, the stuff that was revealed at the awe-dropping event, as well as info that you need to know about all the new operating system updates, and hopefully to help you make an informed decision on whether to update or wait. Breaking Blindness Barriers is a discussion group where we discuss the pesky barriers that get in the way of our daily lives, you know, things that make it harder to be productive, independent, and to just get overall enjoyment and inclusion into all aspects of daily life. That's what we're here to talk about and to hopefully come up with strategies and encourage each other to go out there and break those barriers. My name is Julian Vargas. My website is www.techjv.com. That's www.tech, T-E-C-H, J as in John, V as in Victor.com. If people want to reach me by phone, you don't do the internet, I can be reached at 818-794-9554. I want to thank the folks at AIRS LA, the Audio Internet Rating Service of Los Angeles, for making our meetings into a podcast which can be shared around the world and can benefit many more people than that of what are able to attend here today. AIRS LA is a nonprofit organization, so they certainly accept donations to help offset the cost of their operations. And I accept donations as well. Attending BBB and listening to the recordings is always free. I will never charge anybody for this. But there are some costs involved, primarily the cost of Zoom, which does seem to be increasing every year. So if anybody has a little spare change and wants to help offset the cost, and it comes from your heart to do so, I certainly welcome it. And you know it will go to a good place. You just basically go to my website, www.techjv.com, and look all the way at the bottom for a donate link and follow the instructions there, and you can get that to me. And if you have any questions, again, you can contact me using the above provided contact information or what is found on my website. So this is where we give announcements. Announcements that are of interest to the Breaking Blindness Barriers community. So I'll name a few things here, and anybody with announcements that they want to share with us that are related to the blind community and breaking barriers, we welcome those as well. Right off the bat, I want to mention this is a barrier that absolutely needs to get broken, and I'm glad to see that something is being done. The Department of Justice is now suing Uber for discrimination against passengers with disabilities, primarily for denying rides to users with service animals and users who have stowable wheelchairs. And just in general, they've got some drivers out there that pull the weirdest shenanigans. And I'm glad to see that finally something is being done about this by a force that matters. So I thought that might make some of you happy to know that this is finally an action that's being taken. For those who miss accessible menus, remember the Menus for All app that went away? There's another way to get accessible menus now. I believe before I've talked about InnoSearch. It's an online shopping site that makes it much easier to shop online for all kinds of things from all kinds of places, including making airline reservations. And it's done in a way where it strips out all the annoying things that get in the way of screen readers from accessing the info that we really want. So one of the things they've added now is the option for food ordering and accessing restaurant menus. If you go to www.innosearch.ai/food, you can get more information on what they offer. For those who are interested in smart glasses, and I think pretty soon we're going to have to be doing a meeting about smart glasses. We haven't talked about them for a while, and a lot has happened and is about to happen in that space. So we're going to talk about that. But today what I want to say is that the second generation of the Meta Ray-Ban smart glasses is now available, or soon going to be. It's on the cusp. So be on the lookout for that. It's going to offer better battery life, better cameras, things like that. Things that we really care about, especially because I don't know about the rest of you guys, but I use mine on a daily basis and they are so helpful. So that's all that I've got. If anybody's got a brief announcement, something that is of concern to the blindness community or beneficial, I will take that now. Again, if you want to raise your hand or if you want to unmute yourself and call your name, let's open the floor for that. All right, David D, you've got an announcement. Go ahead, Dave DeLauder. David, you have to hit star six to unmute yourself.
Yeah, I'm here. It
Okay,
took a while.
go ahead with your announcement.
I just started using Google Gemini, and I didn't know if you knew any glasses that Gemini has a live feature on it, where you just can use the phone and talk to it, and it'll tell you everything around you. And I like it. I didn't know if there was any kind of glasses that go with it that you could adapt to it.
Well, Google, there's a lot of people are getting in the smart glasses race. In fact, I saw an article that said something to that effect in the headline. Everybody wants to make smart glasses now or is going to be. So I'd say watch it. And like I said, I think in the very near future, we're going to be visiting this topic. So yeah, Google Gemini is certainly an AI that's available out there. It's free. And it's quite powerful, and especially if you use Android, it's sort of baked right into it. So it's a good thing to acquaint yourself with.
Because on the AI, that's the best one. But the other ones, like on Be My Eyes, the one that they offer, you guys take your snapshot and ask questions and back and forth. And that Gemini, you just talk to it like it's right there with you. So, hey,
Right.
thank you.
Yeah, very, I mean, they're all doing it in their own way. But in the end, especially when you got Meta and you got Google, companies like that are mainstream companies putting resources into this and trying to help us, I think that is definitely a good thing and a great contribution to the breaking barriers movement. So thank you, David, for that.
Robert.
And Robert, go ahead.
So just in addition to your announcement about Uber being sued in California, there is another issue that is taking place, and I'm actually a guinea pig for. So TRE Legal, which is in the Bay Area, San Francisco, is creating a document and profile to help people understand how to go to small claims court and sue Uber that way, that way. And so I am actually the first person going through the steps. And TRE Legal is walking me through it so that there will be documents on their websites in the future, so that people can just go look at the process of how to go to small claims court and sue Uber for denials of either. Being discriminated against because of their service animal, and also to be able to do the same with Lyft. And so, once I go through the process and sue Uber, and basically you can get $12,500 each time you go through the process, so you can actually do that once a year. And so we're going through the process, and it will be documented on their website, and eventually you'll be able to go there and see how to do it yourself and not need to have an attorney to sue Uber through small claims court.
That's definitely another way to do it. So and that's an interesting strategy. So I think you mentioned they're working on a website, so I take it there's no place one can go to online and find out about this at the time.
Not yet. Like I said, I'm the guinea pig, so I'm the first person they're doing this with. So
All right,
I'll
so
keep you posted.
in future meetings I will expect you to squeal up and keep us posted.
You got it.
Awesome, thanks. All right. Anybody else with any announcements before we move forward?
The Zoom must have broken accessibility. I couldn't lower Dave's hand. There's
Okay.
no option.
Okay, so we're having trouble lowering hands. So, Dave, if you can hit star nine, I believe that will lower your hand. And I guess, yeah, for those who are going to use the raising hand function, please do keep that in mind. I guess we're having trouble doing that on our end. So if you don't mind doing that for us, thank you. We got it, Dave. So you got it. So if you could do that, that'd be great. I hear somebody unmuted. Is there an announcement?
Yes, I was going to say, this is Rachel Ng. I was going to say, isn't there the education department education one where they want to take away Braille, and that's a pretty big barrier with not teaching Braille to students, right?
Yeah.
I think that's what that was what was said last NFB meeting. I was like, that might be worth bringing up
Okay.
as
So
well, where yeah.
in the future, what I would recommend to you, Rachel, if you want to bring something like that here, if you don't mind preparing that ahead of time, you're welcome to sort of bring, an abbreviated version of that and make it sh and share it with us.
Well,
That'd be
I
great.
can, but I wasn't sure if that's what I kind of brought it up. I'm like, okay, should I just say it? I could say it now. I'm just kind of, anyway.
Yeah, no, I understand. And I know that you're new to this, so that's why I'm familiarizing you with the process.
Yeah,
So
sure.
I'm just saying in the future, yeah, that would be helpful and welcome if you want to bring stuff like that in to share with us, because absolutely it's breaking a barrier. So we would love to hear that.
This is
Should I mute
Andy.
myself or should I go
Wait,
on
wait.
or?
Okay, hang on, everybody. We need one person speaking at a time. So Rachel, go ahead.
I was like, should I go on or should I just well, I mean, from
Well,
what I yeah.
in the interest of keeping the meeting going, since this is not prepared,
Yeah. Okay.
I prefer to just kind of move on. But I'm just saying, in the future, when you have something like this, please feel free to just prepare it. A few lines is all it takes, and then just yeah, pipe up during the announcements and share that.
Okay.
All
All
righty.
right.
Okay, and then there was somebody else with an announcement. Was it
Well,
Anne?
this is Andy. This is Andy, and I just wanted to say that I as part of the legislative report that I do for the Greater LA CCB chapter, I actually presented a little bit on this matter a couple of hours ago. If you want me to give a skinny about it, I can do it, or we can
If you can,
just let it go.
if we can give a brief summary, that'd be great.
Okay, what it is that there is the education department has a grant that they give to universities to prepare training materials for professionals in the blindness field, teaching Braille and technology. And the three programs are Cal State LA, University of Massachusetts at Boston, and the University of South Carolina. And apparently, the education department has informed these three universities that they're terminating the grant. So, actually, I got the information from AER, and they're encouraging people to contact their senator and try to talk to them as to not to do it, what the importance of training for professionals in Braille and technology is. That's basically it. That's a short version.
Okay. Is there a website or something that you can give that people can read up about this a little bit more?
I don't have it. I don't have it right
Okay.
now. I can send it to you.
No problem. No,
I don't
it's
have
a,
access to it right now.
yeah. I think you've given enough information that people could probably go and type some words into Google and hopefully find info.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so thanks for that, Andy. I appreciate it. And again, I'm just going to say that, yeah, if anybody wants to bring stuff like this here, this is great. That's what this section is for. But yeah, if we could prepare it just a little bit, and especially if you have a website or a point of contact or something like that that can be given, so that way people who are interested could follow up with that source, that would be great. I don't encourage people to send it to me because my list is just to announce info about these meetings specifically, and I don't want to run a risk of in bombarding people's inboxes with too much stuff. So I want to kind of keep the mailing list more restricted to that. But if people want to give a point of contact or a website so that then people who are interested could follow up with you, that would be awesome. So thanks for all of that. And I appreciate all these wonderful announcements and everything that contributes to the Breaking Blindness Barriers movement. So without further ado, we're going to move away from announcements. And we're going to get to all the good stuff, the new stuff from Apple. I want to give a special thank you to the folks at AppleViz, to the people who contribute to the VI phone list, and there's various other ones like the blind phones and blind apples. I mean, I'm on so many lists I can't even count them anymore. But I get a lot of information from all these places, and then I sprinkle in my own experiences as well to hopefully curate something that I can put together and helpfully give you guys a little bit of a summary of what's out there, what you need to know, so that you can make an informed decision. So I want to thank all the people who aren't involved with our meetings, but certainly contribute to them by having these lists and websites available that I can consult and then learn from and put together stuff. Apple had an event called Awe Dropping on the 9th of this month. They usually have this event somewhere in early to mid-September, and this is usually where they announce new things like iPhones, Apple Watches, things like that. Sometimes iPads, sometimes Macs, although a lot of times they tend to have those at other events. And then, of course, the other big thing that comes out around this time is the updates to all the major operating systems of their platforms. So a lot of us want to know more about this stuff, and there's plenty of mainstream media out there that has all this information, but it doesn't always cover it from a blindness or low vision perspective. So this is what myself and these other sites that I mentioned try to do, is to try to put it together and give us the info that we are most interested in. So this year they announced new iPhones, new Apple Watches, and new AirPods Pro 3. Those are the three main pieces of hardware that got updates this year. So I'm going to briefly go through the various categories. And again, I'm not here to tell you all the nitty-gritty details. You can go online to the sites I mentioned, as well as many mainstream places as well, that will give you all the nitty-gritty details. I try to focus on just giving you general information, and especially details that are, I think, are of interest to our community. So, as far as the iPhones go, all the phones that they announced this year have the following. They have faster processor chips, which of course are a little faster. It's always the case every year. And this is especially helpful to the AI stuff, which I know that has sort of been, at least, well, I'll say in my opinion, has been a little lackluster, but I keep hearing that things are about to get better, and I try to be optimistic and hope that that is the case. But it helps to have faster processor and hardware to be able to handle the loads that are going to be put on processing a lot of AI stuff on board as opposed to offline in a server. The base storage capacity of all these of the iPhones are now all starting at 256 gigs. It wasn't that long ago that they were 32 gigs, and they hung on to 64 gigs for a while as the base. Then they came out with 128 as the base, and now we're up to 256. So that just tells you that these operating systems get bigger and the demand increases, so we need more memory. And Apple, their devices are rising to the occasion. They all have brighter screens, which, for those of us that don't use the screens, I guess we don't care that much about it. But for those who are low vision, you do care a lot about it. I mean, I am low vision, but when I used to rely more on magnification, things like that, I certainly cared a lot about the brightness of screens. The cameras are a little different, aside from being better, of course, but they've changed the way that they feel on the back of the phone. And Apple changed the name of that. They now call it Forge Plateau. And it's more like on a bar across the upper back part of the phone, as opposed to before, where it was just a square relegated to the back right side of the phone, back upper right side of the phone. They claim that this actually makes room for more battery life. So yeah, that means we're going to get better battery life, because again, that's another thing that's important as we make these processors faster and put more demand on them, is that we want the batteries to last longer, so we don't have to be wall huggers and constantly be tied to outlets. The cameras on the front have gotten better as well, and they've done some neat little tricks to help that. And again, there's a lot available on that online. They've added a new networking chip called the N1. That's like November 1. And that improves wireless performance. So specifically, the iPhone 17, which is the base model of this year's flagships, it has a slightly bigger screen than last year's base iPhone 16. It's 6.3 inches instead of 6.1. And by the way, the way that measurement is taken is diagonal from, let's say, upper left down to lower right, or upper right down to lower left. When you measure, if you were to draw a line diagonally like that, that's what that measurement comes from. And that is usable screen, by the way, not bezel or anything like that, but actual screen that you can see or touch and interact with. The processor is now the A19, which of course is a little faster and more capable than last year. There is a 48 megapixel fusion camera. So just to be clear, there are several camera sensors on this phone. None of them are alone 48 megapixel, but the combination of them all working in concert, along with software that powers them, can give you that kind of clarity, 48 megapixels. And the starting price for that phone is $799. Now, if you want to step it up a little bit and go into Pro and Pro Max, that's this year's higher end flagships. Just like with the 17 base, the screen on the Pro is 6.3 inches, and the Pro Max, I think, has stayed the same, 6.7 inches, if I'm not mistaken. It has the A19 Pro processor, which is, I guess, a little faster than just your A19 processor. It's there is an explanation to all that, and again, I'm not going into it here because it's available in other places, and we're not going to get into those kinds of weeds. The one nice thing about the Pros is that it's using a new heat distribution system to keep things cooler on the inside. Because, as you can imagine, and anybody who knows about computers and processing, the faster and the more it does, the more heat it generates. And heat is the enemy of chips, because when it gets too hot, they start to do crazy, unwanted things. Better battery life, certainly as compared to the base model. The Pro Max in particular claims up to 39 hours of video playback. Now, I don't know why Apple chooses to use that as its metric. Maybe it's because it generates a more impressive number, or maybe it's because, yeah, a lot of people do watch a lot of videos and stuff on these phones these days. They're being used to stream content like YouTube or many of the myriad streaming apps out there. The cameras are, of course, better than what's found on the base. Those, from what I understand, the individual sensors are capable of 48 megapixel each. So, all working in concert with the software and the better processing, you get more or less professional grade cinema film standard. So yeah, if you want to film your own movie, buy a 17 Pro or Pro Max, and now you too can be a film producer. The memory storage again starts out at 256, but on the Pro Max you can go as high as 2 terabytes. So yeah, I guess if you're going to be shooting professional movies, you better have all those terabytes. And the price on those for the 17 Pro start at $1099, and it moves up in increments depending on how much you want to trick that thing out. And the star of the iPhones this year, the iPhone Air. You all have, I'm sure, heard about it. Somebody asked me about it before we got the meeting started. This is iPhone's. Oh, let me do my Tim Cook accent here. This is Apple's thinnest iPhone ever. We know you're gonna love it. All right, I won't quit my day job. Anyway, it's the thinnest phone ever. But I'll tell you something. I actually went to the Apple store yesterday and got my hands on it, And I was expecting it to be thinner. It wasn't as thin as I thought, but it is definitely thinner than all the other phones. But because of that, the camera bump on that is a little is definitely more noticeable as compared to the other phones. The it's mostly 5.6 millimeters, except for the thinness of the phone is 5.6 millimeters, except of course for the Forge Plateau area where the cameras are. That part's going to be thicker. This year, I mean, we've been used to a Apple selling eSIM-only phones here in the U.S. now for a little while, but you used to be able to get SIM card phones internationally. Well, on this Air, there is no SIM card slot. Again, all in an effort to make it thinner. So it's eSIM or nothing on that phone. All the other phones, what I said applies. The ones sold here in the U.S. are all eSIM. But if you really have to have this SIM card, you can buy it internationally. And depending on where you buy it, you'll get your SIM card slot capability. It has the same processor and brighter screen as the Pro and Pro Max, and the same cameras too, more or less. The same powerful sensors. But this one only gives you 27 hours of video playback as opposed to the 39 that the 17 Pro Max boasts. And on that one, the price starts at $999 for the 256 gig model. Now we'll go to the Apple Watches. They made the screen stronger and supposedly much more scratch resistant, but no mention of does it make them harder to break? It just mentions that it makes them more scratch resistant, which means yes, you still can. And I bet, I forget what the guy's name on YouTube is, but there's a guy that will do all this stuff to any new phone that comes out, a new device. And he'll take chisels and he'll put them on fire. He'll throw them off buildings. He does all kinds of stuff. I'm sure he'll find a way to break those screens and scratch them. The other thing you get is a sleep score feature. This is where it gives you a detailed report when you wake up, and it, I guess, grades your sleep based on things like when you went to sleep, how much interruptions you had to your sleep, and of course, it measures those metrics. You have to be wearing the Apple Watch while you sleep to for it to do what that stuff. But it does, and yeah, it's pretty interesting. I found it fascinating to read my sleep report in the morning. It offers, and they talked about blood pressure monitoring, and this is only available on this on the Series 11 and the Ultra 3 models. Not available on the SE model, and we're going to get into the difference of those models here in a moment. It's important to mention, though, that this is not something that you're going to be able to activate and get a blood pressure reading like you do with a traditional blood pressure cuff. It only monitors trends based on the metrics it collects, and I guess the behavior of your arteries that it can see. It's doing some stuff there, and it will let you know if you are trending or something that's showing that, hey, you may have hypertension and don't know it. Maybe you'll want to talk to your doctor about it. And from what I understand at this point, that's all that that feature is really doing. The SE3, we'll start with that one. That is Apple's lowest priced iPhone. I mean, Apple Watch, pardon me. Correction there. It gained some features, like, for example, being able to play your media through the built-in speaker. It does measure body temperature, which was not available on the previous SE model. And it does also do the sleep tracking, so you can also get your sleep score that way. And that works with the health app, by the way, for those who want to know. It has the always on display now, which is really not something that helps us voiceover users, but it's there for people who like to still show something on the screen, even if they can't use it, or if you have low vision. It offers 18 hours of battery life. So it means that, yeah, every 18 hours or so, you're going to have to pull the thing off and charge it. I still think the best thing to do is just to charge it once a day. I do mine in the morning when I get up, so that way by the time I'm ready to leave or do something, it's charged and ready to go. The starting price on the Apple Watch SE, I'll get it right one day, is $249. And now we're going to go to the Series 11, which is basically the flagship model. This one has 24-hour battery life. And by the way, I did get a Series 11, and so far I'm really liking it. Yeah, so it has 24-hour battery life. Supposedly, you don't have to charge it thing but once every 24 hours. So we'll see about that. We'll see how that pans out. But it's any kind of battery life extension is good. The cool thing is that you'll be able to, with fast charging, get it up to 80% in only 30 minutes of charging. So, if you have to walk out the door and you suddenly realize that, hey, my battery level is only down to like 40% or something like that, in 30 minutes or less of charging, you'll get it to at least 80% or more. The starting price on the iPhone series, the Apple Watch Series 11, is $399, and it comes in different sizes, by the way. It starts at 42 millimeters and then 46, and I forget if there's another one past that one, but yeah, depending on which model you choose, it's $399 for the 42, and I think it's $429 for the 46, which is the one I got. The Apple Watch Ultra 3, that is the high-end thing. This is the thing that you can take diving and climbing Mount Everest and doing all this crazy stuff and have a rugged watch that'll get you through it. It is, of course, slightly larger and has a brighter screen as compared to last year's Ultra model. It has the always-on display, but now it refreshes more often. So you can get faster updates on stuff that you're monitoring, which again, I guess depending on certain physical activity you're doing, you want to be able to glance at that thing and get that update faster. It does now offer SOS over satellite connectivity. So if you are out there in the middle of nowhere doing your adventure, and something happens and you don't get cellular signal, even if you have the 5G watch, you can now, I guess, aim it up at the satellite and call for a call for help using the SOS satellite feature. It has a whopping 42 hours of battery life. So this is where the larger size watch really, I guess, makes a name for itself. A lot of that size, I guess, is battery, and that's good. Again, when you're going to be doing this wild adventures out in the middle of nowhere, possibly for a day or two, you'll want to know your watch is not going to conk out on you. The starting price on those is $799. AirPods Pro 3, another device that I'm getting, because I use the AirPods Pro 3 primarily as a hearing aid to help me hear voices and things in loud, echoey places. It has better sound, especially the bass. I have not tried that yet, but I don't listen to music much on my AirPods. It has better active noise cancellation. In fact, it's supposed to be twice as good as the AirPods Pro 2. The transparency mode is much better and focuses on voices or emphasizes voices. And I got to tell you, I tried those on yesterday in the Apple Store, and I found that to be the case. The transparency mode was definitely better, it was clearer, and as you can imagine, on the day that everybody hits the Apple Store trying to buy the new thing, it was very crowded and noisy, and I had no problem hearing the salesperson that was helping me and hearing Jamie's voice, who was next to me. And everybody, all the other noise was there, but it was more in the background. So I was impressed, and therefore I've decided that it's joining my gadget family. It's supposed to have better battery life, probably about twice as good as what you get with the Pro 2s. It's given you 8 hours of battery life if you're using active noise cancellation, which means that you're shutting the whole world out, which is really good if you're in a noisy place and don't need to hear what's around you and just want to hear what you're listening to on the phone. So it's giving you 8 hours of battery life on that and 10 hours of battery life if you're just using transparency mode. So again, I will put this to the test and see how close it really comes to that. It's got a new live translation feature. And the way this is supposed to work is that when you enable it, and I think you have to download some language packs beforehand, when you enable this thing and you turn that mode on, it is going to lower the sound of the voices that are talking to you, but it's going to have a TTS, I presume, read you the translated language. So let's say I go to Greece and I turn that mode on and I've downloaded the information for the Greece language pack. I am supposed to be able to put that on when speaking to somebody in who's only speaks Greek. They're supposed to speak to me. In my ear, I hear a translation of what they're saying. And then when I speak on the screen of my phone, it's supposed to show the person I'm talking to what I'm saying to them translated to Greek. And of course, if I am wearing the AirPods that are capable of this and that person is wearing them, well, then we don't need to use the phone at all. We each enable the respective feature and talk to each other. And somehow we're supposed to have a conversation. So I'll be very interested to see how that works. By the way, if you have an AirPods Pro 2 or a regular AirPods Series 4, you're supposed to have access to this feature as well. So you don't have to buy the new Pro 3 to get this translation feature. You should have it as long as you have something that's fairly current, like the Pro 2 and the Series 4 regular AirPods. And you need the iPhone 15 Pro or newer because, again, it's using some AI stuff. So it needs to use your phone in the background to do some of that processing. The price on those is $249. So I know I've thrown a lot at you. So I'm going to go ahead now and open the floor for anybody who has any questions about it, or you want to add something that maybe I didn't cover that you've heard. Let's see, do we have any hands raised? No hands raised. I know I heard an audio. I heard Jaws talking there. So, somebody want to add something?
Andy,
Andy, go ahead.
I have a question. If you have the AirPod Pro 2, do you see any real advantage to upgrading to the Pro 3?
Well, that's always a personal decision in the end, but I'll tell you that I actually did that side-by-side test yesterday in the Apple store in Northridge. And that's why I was impressed enough to where I would have bought it that day yesterday, but they were already out of them. But I ordered it online. And actually, when I'm done with this meeting, guess where I'm going? I'm going to pick up the new AirPods that are waiting for me. So I think, yes, to me, it's worth it because I primarily am using that transparency mode in conjunction with something called Conversation Boost that you enable on your phone. And now it de-emphasizes a lot of background noises and emphasizes the frequencies that are where the human voice is found. And I'll tell you again, without even turning on the Conversation Boost, when the person in the store had me do that demo, the difference was incredible. I definitely found that it lived up to exactly what it said. The voices came through clearer. And the background noise, I don't know if I would say it was really put back, or was it just because the voices were emphasized that I didn't notice it as much? And when I took theirs off and put mine on and tried it, I noticed a difference. It just was, it was good, but it was not as good as the three. So in my personal use case and opinion, yes, I think it's worthwhile to upgrade. And of course, if you have something older like the Pro 1 or you have the regular AirPods, before the Series 4, then yeah, I think it's absolutely worthwhile. So let's see. Okay, so we got some hands here. Let's see, who do I call first? Okay, David, go ahead. Remember star six to unmute.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, on that, on the translation part, does that work well on your iPhone with your iPods too, and an iPad also, or just with the phone, with the watch?
I've not tried it as of yet. I just recently found out that it was going to be available for mine. I thought initially that it was only going to be a Pro 3 thing, because Apple tends to do that a lot, make the shiny new thing only available on the newest thing. But this case, there's an exception. So I've not tried it with the Pro 2s, so I can't speak
I
to
don't
that.
have any. I don't have any AirPods. I'm just curious. That was fascinating.
Yeah, I've not tried it, but maybe I will try that side by side once I get my Pro 3s.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I think there was a voice. Rachel, is that Rachel? Is that you?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't know if this is hardware or software. This could be software and could be covered later. I heard the dynamic island is going away. Is that true?
And everything that I read, I've not seen any mention of the dynamic island. I know that on the iPhone SE, or not the iPhone 16e, does not have a dynamic island, where all the other base and pro models do. So I've not heard anything about that. But you know what? When I go to the Apple store today to pick up my AirPods, guess what? I'm going to stop at the table and check. I'm going to see if there's a dynamic island there.
Julian,
Oh, wait, hold on, Rachel, is that it?
that
Okay,
was just was
thanks.
my question.
Okay, thanks, Rachel. Okay, and who? And Greg, is that you?
Yeah, it's me. I was just going to add a
Yeah.
answer the question, if you don't
Oh,
mind.
go ahead.
So, what they're doing in iPhone 17 and iPhone 18 is they're shrinking the size of the dynamic island so that it doesn't take up as much physical space on the top of the screen. I don't know that I particularly like that as a low vision user. When they originally brought out the change where they turned the phone answering screen into that little tiny narrow banner on top, it created lots of problems for people that have neurologic disorders that cause their hands to shake. They couldn't get to the buttons. But yeah, they're just making it smaller.
So here's the thing, in case you don't know, or even if you know, maybe somebody else won't know. If you go into settings and you go into the settings for your phone app, you can actually make it full screen for the phone.
That I am aware of. I've done that. That's probably back in iPhone, I think iOS 15 is when that came out.
Right. So yeah, I just thought I'd put it out there since you mentioned that. I thought, if somebody else isn't aware of it, there is a way to do that, so that way you don't have the issue that you were describing. But as far as the dynamic island goes, I've personally, I've not really seen it used for anything that's all that special. I realize that part of it was to sort of cover where the notch used to be, but it just doesn't seem like a lot of developers have really incorporated it into their apps. I know some of the rideshare apps and the food delivery apps sometimes use it, but I thought it would have gotten more use. So maybe that could possibly explain why Apple is starting to diminish its prominence. So, thanks for that, Greg. Mary Lou, you have a question?
Yeah, I do. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. Go ahead.
Okay. A couple of questions. One, is there a set of headphones that I can purchase? Because I have a headset, but I had a headphone that I could clip on my over the head over my ear, because if I have the regular headphones, I'm afraid when I put them in the ear, I walk around the house and I'll lose one in the by the dishwasher or doing dishes or somewhere else. And
So,
is there anything that goes over the, over the ear and I could just put in the ear and, and if I get a phone call, there's a little thing that I can move up and down to talk with the microphone.
okay, so your concern is using AirPods and them falling out of your ear potentially. Is it? So there are some things you can do for that. Which AirPods are you using?
What could I do?
Which AirPods are you using?
I'm
He
not
has
using
the,
a
she
phone.
has the Pro too.
Okay, so there's a couple things that I have found because I had the same problem when I first got the Pro 2s. And in fact, I had a scare one time because I thought for sure within a week of getting them that I had already lost one. So, two things. They do make something that you can put, it's like a cord. And imagine on each end of the cord is a little bucket. And it works similar. Remember how, if you've ever seen somebody, or if you've ever worn glasses, they used to sell something that you could put through the through the arms, the hook of the arm of the glass. So they make something like that for AirPods. You can look on Amazon. I found them that way. Just look for AirPods, a Pro cord or neck cord or something like that. I forget what I put exactly. Magnetic neck cord or something like that. Look for that. And yeah, the cool thing is that when you, if you don't want to wear them in your ear but still want them around your neck, and when you pull them out of your ear, the two little cups will stick to each other, you know, and kind of lay on your chest. And then when you want, just put them back in your ear. So that's one way to prevent losing them. The other thing that I did, and by the way, this was somewhat improved in the AirPods Pro 3, is I changed the ear tips. I found that those silicone ear tips were also very slippery and contributed to the problem. I went and found memory foam ear tips, and I've been using them ever since. And and because of that, I don't even use that neck cord thing that I just mentioned to you, because these, once I put them in my ear, they stay snug in there. The memory foam has greater traction and resistance, where those silicone things just slip right out, especially with the oils that build up in your ear. They just get very slippery. Now, the new AirPods come with ear tips that supposedly have foam infused into them. So I'm also going to be looking to see how much better that helps that problem. So, you know, ask me about that in the future once I've had them. But those are two things you can do today if you have AirPods Pro 2. And don't want to worry so much about losing them. As far as actual headphones, I mean, they do make the AirPods Max, which I think are a headphone, but man, they're expensive. And there's all kinds of headphones out there that you could probably find Bluetooth or wired or what have you. It's your preference, but I don't have a recommendation there. But
Also, I had a weird thing that happened today on my iPhone. I got a message. I was just perusing on things, and it came up. A message said, "Your phone has been hacked. Take
oh,
steps."
that's.
And it just showed up, and I thought it was some kind of a prank or something. And I'm wondering, are there any things to check for viruses, or how do you prevent that, or is that something I need to be?
Here's the thing. Normally, I would say no. It's very tough to do malware attacks on iOS devices. However, there are funny things that can happen. So what were you doing when this happened?
I think it was on Google or whatever, and it popped up.
Were you using Safari?
I could have been. Yeah, I was looking for.
So it could be that maybe some site that Google directed you to might have had some bad code in there. I would ignore that. I would just, if I were you, if you want to be absolutely safe, just go into Safari, close that tab. If you want to go into the settings of Safari, clear your cache, do stuff like that. But I, at this point, wouldn't worry about it.
Okay, is there a good free virus protection app?
Well, like I said, on iOS, that's usually not a concern. I mean, I'm sure if you go into the App Store and type that search, you will get stuff. But I don't think it's really necessary. And I would be very careful and read the reviews and make sure. But in general, on the iPhone, you do not need to worry about that stuff. The operating system is secure enough that it blocks. You'd have to be like a wanted head of state or a political figure or somebody like that who is being specifically targeted by a nation state or somebody very sophisticated.
What about virus protection?
You don't have to worry about it. The operating system takes care of that generally. Just because something popped up like that doesn't mean you have a virus. It's just bad code that was injected into the website and it caused that pop-up, but I don't think it did anything. Like I said, if you want to be absolutely sure, close the tab, that tab, go into Safari, clear out all your cache. You can do that pretty easily. And then that way, you know for sure it's clean. The operating system of Apple, and even to some degree Android, works similarly. Today's modern operating systems do what's called sandboxing. And that is that when you open Safari, it's opening up in its own sort of little box. And it's tough to really get something to leak out of that box and infect the rest of your device. So I would honestly really not worry about it. I think, but if you want to feel safe, do what I just recommended. Clear your cache and your tabs, and I think you're fine.
So go into tabs, or do I go into general?
So when you're in Safari,
Okay.
look for the tabs button, a double tap and hold that, or triple tap on it, and you should see an option to close all tabs. Just do
Okay.
that. So I can't really do it, like walk you through it right now because I'm trying to run a meeting,
Oh yeah, I
but in general,
understand.
that's what you do. And then to go into Safari settings, go into settings, and then go to apps, and then go to Safari, and there you should probably find stuff that talks about clearing your cache.
Okay, thank
All
you.
right, thanks, sorry, Lou. All right, does anybody else have any questions? And especially again related to all the hardware that I just discussed.
Rachel Ng again,
Yeah, go
if you
ahead,
don't
Rachel.
mind. I have a question in the comment, but I guess my comment is the AirPods Max are definitely headphones. I have a pair. But yeah, you definitely can't you lose part of that one. I have a weird, really weird mic, but my question is about the three, the AirPods threes. Do they have any longer battery life, or is it essentially the same? I
It
mean,
it's not the same. Like I said, it's about twice as much. You're getting 8 hours of battery, and I assume that means per charge. If you're using full noise cancellation, the active noise cancellation, and 10 hours if you're using transparency mode. Now, of course, if you're doing other things with it, like if you're listening to music along with it, then yeah, that's going to also diminish your battery life. But remember too that the AirPods Pro, like all other AirPods, really, there's a battery in the case, and when you're not using them, you can also throw them in there, and it's going to keep your AirPods charged up. So when you're ready to use them again, you just pull them out of there and put them on. So yeah, there is definitely a noticeable, at least per their description. I haven't had personal experience yet, on battery life, noticeable improvement.
Oh, cool. Thanks for that. Yeah.
Oh, you're welcome. All right.
Yeah,
Thank
I
you.
think I missed what you said. Sorry about that. Thank
Okay.
you.
Well, thank you for that. And okay, anybody else have any questions
Julian.
about the hardware part that I just announced? Yeah, go ahead. Who's this?
This is Greg Rosenberg,
Greg, go ahead.
AD9SE. So, just a couple of hardware tidbits. One is that the new hardware that's in the 17 has more tightly integrated chips. And the benefit to blind and low vision users is when we're using VoiceOver on our device, it generally consumes quite a bit of battery. So the tighter integration they've done in the 17 reduces the battery usage for accessibility technologies you run on your phone by at least 40%. So it'll stretch your battery life out quite a bit.
Yep, absolutely.
The other significant hardware change is they added a new feature called MEI, which is a way to protect the memory at the hardware level instead of the operating system level. So if a application developer makes a mistake in their code and causes a out of bounds or some other type of memory corruption, whether it's intentional or accidental, it's now going to protect that from attacking other parts of your memory. So it's done a lot with memory isolation to improve the security. And one of the reasons that that got motivated to be done is because a lot of blind and low vision users have been scammed quite considerably. And so they're trying to build in more protections to mitigate those threats at the hardware level rather than just the software level.
Yep, I agree. I mean, it's amazing what they can do these days with hardware, with memory, and that's definitely why it's good to upgrade every now and then because you get stuff like that with these updates. So thanks for that, Greg.
The announcement I saw earlier today about the hardware, apparently the ceramic screens that they're using on the 17s are scratching very, very badly. And there's been tons of reports from Apple stores all over the country from people that have asked, well, why are all these demo phones so scratched up? Well, they found out that somewhere between 3 and 24 hours after a new user gets their phone, if it's not in a case and doesn't have a screen protector on it, the ceramic surface is extremely, extremely easy to scratch.
Yeah. So the takeaway here is, and I definitely do this on my phones, put your phone in a case, get a screen protector. You'll be happy you did. That's for sure. So thanks for that, Greg. All right. So I think we covered the hardware pretty good. In the interest of time, I want to kind of move along here and get to some other stuff here. But before I do that, just very briefly, I just want to tell everybody who's here and listening after the fact. Sometimes people hear this kind of stuff and hear me talking and think, "Well, yeah, I'd love to have a guy like this guy help me with some of my stuff sometimes, one-on-one, or help me to do some shopping and all that." And I'm here to say that I offer that service. It's one of the services that I personally offer. I can consult with you and help you shop for tech. I can do training for individuals as well as small groups. And if you just want somebody for tech support, I do that as well. Like, you're having trouble figuring something out and you want somebody to give you some one-on-one attention. That's what I'm here for, and that's what I do. I also do coaching and help for trainers as well, people who are learning how to be access technology trainers and maybe want to pick my brain a little bit about what I've learned in the years that I've been doing this and my experience. That's all available to you. Again, if you go to my website, www.techjv.com, or send an email to help@techjv.com, or call me at 818-794-9554. All roads lead to me, and you can contact me, and I will follow up with you and see if we can help you personally. So now we're going to move on to away from hardware and on to operating systems, because there's a lot to cover here. I highly recommend reading a site like AppleViz.com. You've heard me mention them before. I talk about them all the time because they really do provide a lot of really helpful features, a lot of helpful info. And yeah, they get into kind of the weeds a little bit too on some things, like what Greg was doing, giving us some really inside stuff on how this stuff works internally. They really do a good job covering a lot of this stuff. And especially when something like a new operating system comes out like this, especially if you're blind to low vision, or if you're using your phone for certain medical device communications, it's really good to check with places like that so that you can make an informed decision and not just jump in head first without looking where you're jumping, to make sure that you're not going to get messed up because an update has a bug or needs a little more refining before it's ready for your version of prime time. So for starters, the operating systems, Apple changed the naming scheme on all their operating systems to their platforms this year. They say that this is in an effort to make things less confusing. And in a way, I agree. It makes sense. So all the OS's operating systems, or we call them OS's, are named by the number of the next full calendar year. So this is similar to what car manufacturers do. Right around this time or a little bit later, you start to see the 2026 models of vehicles. Freedom Scientific is soon going to be releasing 2026 versions of their software, like JAWS and Fusion and Zoom Text and things like that. So this is all very similar. Apple is sort of borrowing from them. And it makes sense because before you had iOS 18, watchOS 10 or 11 or 12 or whatever. You had macOS 10 something. It's like you had all this stuff. And people sometimes were wondering, well, which is which? Or I have this, but do I need that? So now moving forward, Everything, this year's new updates all include the number 26 in their name, and that's how it's going to go moving forward. So for this year, things like iOS, iPadOS, watchOS, things like that are all number 26. So before I go any further, I want to give a warning, a word of warning to anybody who has not yet updated to iOS 26. Very important, especially if you are a voiceover user. There, in some cases, have been reported a loss of speech after the device updates and comes up to the lock screen when it's ready for you to enter your PIN and then move forward. This affects iOS 26, iPadOS 26, and even watchOS 26. I've seen this happen, both for myself, for Jamie, and for clients as well. I saw this especially in the early days of the iOS 26 beta. I ran it from day one, and I knew mo even then it was reported that this was an issue, so I prepared for it, and I was able to get out of the jam. But I'm really surprised that it made it through in some way to the final release. This is not a good thing. Apple claims that a fix is in the pipeline. So I would say at this point, unless you're really comfortable with a little bit of a tech adventure, don't update. Wait till Apple issues this fix. You'll hear all about it all over the place, but especially if you follow again some of these mailing lists that I mentioned and Apple Viz, for sure you will know when this comes out. In my personal experience, some of the things that I have found can work if you choose to want to do this anyway is switch your main voice to Eloquence. For some reason, Eloquence is not affected by this, or it doesn't seem to be. It wasn't for me. And it wasn't for some clients whose phones I've set up since then. So that's one way to do it if you want to try to brace yourself for an adventure. And again, I'm going to emphasize, if you're not comfortable with potentially having to get out of that kind of jam, or you don't have access to a sighted person, then maybe wait. It also seems to be related to phones that are locked, have a passcode or a PIN. So if you disable your passcode or PIN before the update, that might get you out of it as well. But I don't know about you, I don't like disabling the PIN because certain apps, like your banking app, that use your Face ID or your Touch ID, you'll have to re-give some permissions again for that once you've made a change to things like that. Because once you disable your PIN, you've also disabled your Touch or Face ID. So now that I got that out of the way, let's get to accessibility stuff. I'm going to mention some bugs here that I've heard. And again, I'm sure there's lots more than what I'm going to give here. So when I open things up, if you've found anything, that's the time to speak up. There have been some issues with using Braille and external keyboards for typing. Especially, it involves like losing characters as you're typing into things like the Mail app. And one of the recommendations is to type your thing out in the Notes app, which is less prone to it for some reason, and then copying and pasting it into the email. If you use WhatsApp Messenger, this has been a thing for a while. If you use the reactions, Apple calls them now tap back, but WhatsApp I think still calls them reactions. When you go to use that, the choices disappear as soon as you double tap the thing to show them. So that's a problem that'll hopefully get fixed. Also, there's been issues with downloading certain voices and adding them to your voiceover rotor. So it'll seem like it's there, you double tap it, but it's not there because it won't let you add it to the rotor. Also, and this is something that's been around since before 26, but it still seems to be persisting, and I'm hearing people talking about it more with 26, is that sometimes when you get a notification on your lock screen, you might have several of them, and you touch the one that you want to have voiceover read. If it's a long notification and you know how your screen normally wants to lock after a few seconds, well, it'll do that and voiceover will cut off the reading of that notification. So hopefully Apple will fix that because that's kind of annoying. some things that have changed that some might think is a bug, but is really not a bug. I'm going to mention a few of them. The search boxes that we found in a lot of places, like in the Settings app, for example, which is a convenient way to find the setting that you're looking for instead of drilling through menus, and the address bar in Safari and some other things like that, that search bar is now found on the bottom instead of the top of the screen. The other thing is, especially affecting low vision users, you've heard a lot of talk of liquid glass. I'm not going to be talking a whole lot about it here, but again, lots of information available and from many places on what liquid glass is and how it looks and things like that. But for to give you the short version, it just makes everything transparent, which could be kind of confusing if print is being overlaid over other print. And if you're a low vision user, that could really wreak havoc in your world. There's no way to turn off liquid glass, unfortunately, but there are some things that you can do. You can go into your accessibility settings and you want to enable something called reduced transparency. And that will help reduce the transparency of things that are underneath the screen that you're trying to read. So that's one way to sort of mitigate the problem. I would also recommend, if you have access to either somebody you know or you go to the Apple Store yourself, look at a device that's already using liquid glass and see if it's going to be a problem. And then maybe try doing turning on the reduced transparency. There's also something called reduced motion that I like to enable as well to help. You don't sometimes animating things flying in and out of screens can be a little disconcerting and distracting. So I like turning those features on. But yeah, take a look and see if it's going to be a problem, and if turning off the re or turning on the reduced transparency makes it usable. The look of the phone app has changed. They've tried to, I guess, reduce the amount of tabs that are on the bottom. So they've made these unified look. So the Recents tab now combines things like all your recent calls, including your missed calls, and including your voicemails. And that could be a little annoying when you're trying to find something. So for me, I didn't I switched back, and there's a way to do that. So the classic view is available, thank goodness. When you first launch the phone app, you'll be asked, you'll be told, hey, the phone app has a new look. Do you want to try it or keep or stay with what you have? So stay with what you have for now, or know that if or if you just want to see what it is, go ahead and do it, and know that you'll have to go into a menu in the phone app. It's, I think, located on the upper right corner. It's like an edit button or something like that when you're on the recent calls screen, and you can enable the classic view again. So that's it. That's it on the bugs or things that people might think are bugs. So some improvements and fixes, things that they have supposedly addressed. Better focus and reliability in App Switcher. I've yet to really pay attention to it. I am going to be paying more attention to it as time goes on. I haven't had too much of a problem with it, however, but I know that some people really were struggling with it, where the voiceover focus doesn't keep up with what you're doing when you're flicking through your App Switcher and deciding which app you want to close. And you end up closing the wrong app. They claim that that has been fixed in 26. Eloquence had a problem where it wasn't using the correct inflection for when it came across a comma. That has supposedly been fixed as well. And now we'll get to new enhancements, things that they've added that weren't there before. There's now a thing where you could share your accessibility settings temporarily with another iOS device. And it has to be a device also running iOS 26. You could do it with a device that's near you or a device that's logged into the same iCloud account that you're logged into. And the way that works, in short, is that let's say you're helping somebody with an iPhone and you want to enable VoiceOver and have your same settings that you use of VoiceOver on their phone. You can send a request of sorts. I have not done this yet, so I'm just kind of guessing at how it works, is that you go into the voiceover settings, and there must be a place there where you could share these settings. And you're sending this out, the person on the other end accepts that invitation, and then momentarily, your phone is supposed to be, their phone is supposed to behave like your phone in terms of accessibility. So you can go in there and help them with what you're trying to help them. And then I guess when you're done from your host phone, the one that sent the invo the invite, you can tell it you're done, and the other person's phone is supposed to go back to working the way that it was working prior to you sharing those settings. So I think that's kind of cool. Accessibility nutrition labels. We've heard a lot of this back in May during Accessibility Awareness Day, and Apple made a to-do about it. This is where app developers can highlight accessibility features within their apps or compatibility. So I guess they fill out a form, and they're going to report which accessibility features their app supports or is compatible with. So for right now, it's an optional thing, but hopefully someday Apple will make it a little more than optional. So and we'll have to see too what Apple does if people false report that their app is accessible when it's really not. So we'll have to see how that all plays out, but I think it's definitely a step in the right direction. And this info is available in the apps page in the App Store. So if you go to an app and you go to its page, somewhere on that page, I think it's toward the bottom, it makes reference to the accessibility features that the app supports. There have been many Braille improvements, they say. I'm not a Braille user, so I'm really hoping that there are some Braille users here that have been using these new things and will be able to share it with all of us who are here and listening after the fact. But yeah, they've added a bunch of stuff. I mean, the AppleVis had a very, very extensive explanation and details on this. So go and read their page and find that blog entry. By the way, if you want a shortcut, go to applevis.com/blog, and that'll take you to all these very important blog updates that contain all this information that I'm talking about. It's also supposed to have some note taker functionality. So again, I don't use it that way, but I'm hoping that maybe somebody here has and can shed some light. The magic tap, that's where you double tap with two fingers and it does all this stuff, the theme being starting and stopping. So if you get a call, you can two finger double tap, answer it. You can also two finger double tap to hang it up. If you want to start and stop the playback of something, you can do that. But the problem with blending all those things into one gesture is that inevitably, if you don't do it right or your focus changes during the course of issuing that command, you may be trying to answer or hang up a call, and next thing you know, you're playing some loud music, which is not what you intended. So Apple gave us the ability to customize that a little bit. It lets you disable the playback of media. So I guess it'll always answer and hang up the call. That's not negotiable. But you can tell it not to stop and start media playback. So that may be helpful to some and others. I think I've gotten mixed reviews when I've talked about it with people. Some people really like it to do all things. And other people are like, yes, thank God, I've been waiting for this. So there you go. You can go into VoiceOver settings under commands and find the magic tap button and go in there and customize. We now also have the ability to reset your VoiceOver settings without having to do a reset of all your phone settings and or your device. So this is very important. If you decide to really play around and get adventurous with VoiceOver and start enabling and disabling and customizing, and suddenly you've lost your way and maybe your phone's now acting really funny and you just want to get back to basics again and restart. There's now an option within VoiceOver settings to reset VoiceOver settings. We also have the ability now to have Siri make a sound again. For a while that went away, and I for one like the sound. Other people don't. The only thing I wish they had added was to enable the original Siri sounds, because I know there are people with hearing difficulties that would love to have that old sound again. It was easier for them to detect. Some people, and this is confusing to me because when you're used to JAWS and you're navigating by letter, by word, things like that, JAWS does it where it says everything that is to the right of your cursor. And VoiceOver, of course, does it the opposite. It was telling you what was to the left of your cursor. Well, now there's the ability to change that to behave the way that you want it. I guess by default, it's still doing it the way it always has. But if you want your iOS device to be like your Windows device running JAWS, you can now make that happen. They've done some enhancements to the clipboard, you know, where you copy bits of text to your clipboard that you then want to paste into something else later. Before, you can only do one thing at a time. And so that meant jumping a lot of, doing a lot of back and forth between maybe two screens to copy various things. Now, there is the option to store multiple things in your clipboard, and they've added an option to the rotor called copied speech. And if you start flicking up or down there, you'll see all the different entries you've made into your clipboard, and you can choose to copy which, you know, you can choose to copy a specific one or in a specific order, however you like. So that is now a thing. And I know that there's a lot of other cool stuff that came out in iOS 26, you know, a lot of mainstream stuff. And in the past, I used to spend more time on that subject, but I got some feedback that maybe that wasn't as helpful. So I decided to relegate this particular discussion toward the accessibility or the put the emphasis on accessibility. But I'm more than happy if you guys want to have a separate meeting someday where we just talk about iOS 26 more in depth, where we're not having to talk about hardware and other stuff as well. I'm happy to do that. I'm always open for feedback and always accepting it. So remember, you can send me feedback anytime you like and let me know if you'd like to have that discussion. And if I get enough of that, then there will be a meeting on that topic. So at this point, I'm done with this part of the presentation. So I'm going to open up the floor again. And I'm especially looking for input on some of the Braille stuff that I unfortunately can't shed as much light on because I'm not a Braille user. So if anybody's got Braille stuff, I'm especially interested in that, but I'm open to all of it. So again, you can raise your hand, raise or say your name, and we will go from there. The floor is open.
Julian Greg Rosenberg.
Go ahead, Greg.
So one of the big ones you missed is called Accessibility Reader, and it's really freaking cool. It's basically a system-wide reader mode that allows web pages, PDF files, camera magnifier, and other things to allow you to. So in Safari in the old days, you had a reader mode where it would strip out all the extra garbage you don't want to see, advertisements and what have you. Different controls on the website that you might not need to see when you're reading a document. So this is now a system-wide option, and it allows you to customize fonts, spacing, colors, background text, and lots of other things. That's useful for, you know, folks that are low vision, not necessarily folks that are blind. The other thing is they've added,
Wait, hang on a second before you get to that other thing. So how would somebody in Safari enable that?
all you have to do is turn on reading mode.
So that's found in the little menu thing in Safari, and
Correct.
you should see reading mode and then okay.
That's
So
all.
okay.
But
So no, I'm glad you brought that because I like I've mentioned I don't there's bound to be things that I miss. So this is why I have the discussion. So I appreciate it. So thanks for that. And then go ahead with your next item.
I consider myself an Apple expert since I've been doing Apple software development since the 80s.
Okay.
But in any case, they've added a number of Braille changes as well. You now have access to Live Lewis and I can't remember, RFCE, I think it's called, and I might have that acronym wrong, plus system tables. And what these tables do are map the characters that you're working with in a document or text string to the corresponding Braille characters depending upon the Braille encoding you want to use. So if you're, for example, wanting to read a very old book, I guess this RFCE mode allows you to be able to open and read older BRF files. I'm by no means a Braille expert. I'm still a Braille newbie, really. I'm mostly grade one,
Okay.
but I can do a little. I can do enough.
Okay. So yeah, this is why I'm hoping that some Braille users will chime in here, because I'm weak on that stuff, admittedly. So this
So
helps.
Braille access turns the device, regardless whether it's iPhone, Vision Pro, or iPad or whatever, into a full field Braille note taker. So for those that don't want to run out and buy a second device as a Braille note taker, that's a pretty significant improvement in 26.
Awesome.
It supports, Braille input directly on screen, which has been around for many versions, but it's highly enhanced in iOS 26. They fixed quite a few of the Braille bugs that I worked with the Library of Congress and Apple to get resolved. There are still a few issues that are out there, like when you send a audio note, it doesn't always play unless a second note is sent.
Well,
That's been a bug that's been around since iOS 16. And it's
yeah,
been very, very difficult to duplicate for Apple to fix it.
I know it's and it's some of these things have persisted for a while. So I thank you very much for doing that work behind the scenes with Apple, and it's good that they listen and they're receptive. Did you have any other items?
Oh, I could go on for a few hours, but
Okay.
those are the big
Well, all
ones.
right. Well, thanks for that. Yeah, I don't have a few hours. I got a ride to catch in a while, but thanks for that, Greg. Does anybody else have any questions, comments? And again, especially Braille stuff, if you have an experience, especially, I think it'd be really helpful.
I,
Yeah, go
Rachel
ahead.
Ng,
Yeah,
I
go ahead,
have
Rachel.
a potentially off topic, but we're talking about when you were talking about the stuck thing, you're talking about Face ID and PIN. I'm having some issues. I'm a new Meta glasses user. And I realize when I have my glasses on, it doesn't really recognize my face too well. And I'm like, well, I sometimes have it off and sometimes has it on. And it's like,
Yeah.
it's weird.
So I'll tell you this much. I use Meta glasses and I've never had a problem with the facial recognition. And
Interesting.
I set mine up long. I've had the 15 Pro. So that gives you an idea that I've had this phone for a while before I had Meta glasses, and I have not had that problem. So do you have attention aware? Have you disabled that?
I don't know. I don't think I have it, but I can
Because
check.
if do you have I mean I don't want to ask an uncomfortable question, but do you have issues with your eyes wandering or things like that, or are you
Yeah,
able
I
to?
do, but I don't think I have it on, so I'm not sure what's going on otherwise, but
Okay.
yeah.
Yeah, because by default, if you're using VoiceOver when you set up Face ID, it will automatically put that on. You have to actually go and turn it off if you don't want it on. But yeah, the attention, if you have attention aware disabled, in other words, it's not looking for your eyes to be staring at it. It's only looking at your face at that point. You might try that and see if that helps you.
Okay.
And
Yeah,
also,
thank you.
the lighting helps, and especially the lighting that was present when you recorded your face into the phone also helps. So thanks for
Thank you
that.
so much.
Sure.
Hey,
Any other?
Julian, one more point, real quick.
Yes, go ahead.
There's a thing called keep audio in headphones. And what that does is if you're near another device you have paired that's potentially connected or not, it can switch to that device when you're not expecting it, and that can confuse the hell out of you. That's happened to me a whole bunch of
It
times.
sure can. Yep.
And so to get at it, it's real simple. You open up settings, go to general, go to AirPlay and continuity, and then you check the keep audio in headphones. So once you've checked that, your audio will never wander away from your headphones unless you explicitly change the device they're paired to.
Oh, pretty cool. Good stuff. All right, thanks for that again, man. Lots of good info here. All right. Any other people here who with who I want to make sure we get everybody here. So
So,
who's this?
Robert.
Robert, go ahead.
So, I can't answer anything on the Braille side today. I haven't played with stuff enough. But I did want to mention just a couple of things on the, as far as updating, I had that bug with the phone, where it went quiet, and I used Aira on Joy's phone to activate my phone. So that's how I did it. So if people have another device that they can call Aira when they update, they could use it, do it that way. I did not, however, have the same issue when I updated my Apple Watch. Everything updated and actually did it during the night. So I actually woke up in the morning and it was completely updated, and there were no issues whatsoever. So yeah, that was interesting. The other thing I wanted to mention is, this is solely with the Dexcom G7. So I do not know. I know there's people that probably use the FreeStyle Libre, and I don't know anything about that. But however, with the Dexcom G7, which is a continuous glucose monitoring device, there are no issues whatsoever with the G7 and iOS 26. and so just wanted to mention that in case anybody's concerned, or if you know of someone who may be wanting to wait, know that the Dexcom G7 works fine, and actually Dexcom had been working with iOS before it came out, so it's all good. And then the other thing I wanted to mention is with my Apple Watch, and I don't think, Julian, you've had yours yet, so you may not have seen this, but the fitness app on the Apple Watch has changed. So actually the workout, I should say. So when I go into my workout app on the watch, it's actually changed its layout. And so instead of opening up workout and I have let's say outdoor walk and we'll say hiking and indoor walk and et cetera. And you would swipe across the screen to for each one of those. Now you'll just see one item there. Oh, for instance, mine says outdoor walk.
Yeah, it's
And yep. And then you got to
a
flick
picker.
up or down instead of going across. So it's like that took me a little bit of time to get used to. So there's little things that really, if you're if you're into it, to trying new things and figuring it out, it doesn't take long. If you're not into that, I would probably take your advice and say, don't update right now. So I guess that's about all I wanted to say for now.
Yep, that's cool. Yeah, and you should have seen what it was like in July when the or in June rather. What am I saying? July in June when the beta on the watch came out. Oh, that was a mess. But
Well, I've been
but
having
yeah.
fun playing with everything, so
Oh yeah.
I am going to take your advice on changing the layout of my recents back to classic, because I just can't get used to everything's going just lobbed into to one screen. It's like, where's my voicemail and my so it's
Yeah.
like, yeah,
Well,
so.
and I want to say something about that in a second, but I don't want to forget to give props where they belong. And that is to Apple because your report about the collaboration with Dexcom is nothing short of wonderful. I mean, this is the first year that I can recall that I've heard somebody say at this, especially this soon after the update, that it is okay if you're using that device to make this update because it's always been, no, don't do it yet. And it's always taken months to finally hear that it was safe to do that. So
Yeah, they're
hats off
usually a
to
year
Apple
behind
and to
sometimes,
those
so
people who do that. I think that's
yep.
awesome.
Yeah, it
So
is,
yeah.
so
And as far as the phone app look, you know, I did somebody sent something to a list the other day that made me think that I want to give it a second look. Because from what it's almost like they it's sections of the screen. So I'm thinking like if you're just swiping right, then yeah, that might seem kind of a it take forever to get to where you're getting to. But it almost sounded like it was in sections of the screen, like each different thing, like your recent calls, your voicemail. So I'm going to give that a look just to see how it looks and give it a second chance. But yeah, for the time being, if you're not ready to learn a new workflow in your phone app and you rely on it a lot, then stick with the classic view. You can always switch. That's a wonderful thing, is that you can switch back and forth. Unlike so many other times that they force a new thing on us and don't let us go back to the old thing, I love it when they give you the ability to try the new thing or keep what you have, or try the new thing, and if you don't like it, go back to what you had and enjoyed. So that's great. Thanks for that, Robert. Anybody else? Comments, questions? Especially if it's somebody we haven't heard from yet. I want to make sure everybody gets a chance.
Yeah, Tom here.
Yeah, Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just curious about a couple of things. The cursor orientation, where you have the before or after where the cursor is. Do you know where that's located?
It's I believe it might be in VoiceOver settings under like typing or something like that. I just sort of heard about it recently, but I haven't committed it to memory yet. But I
Okay.
believe it's in that section.
All right. And also the system-wide reader view.
I know Greg talked about that in terms of Safari. So, Greg, if you're still here, how would one access that reader view somewhere other than Safari?
So you go into settings, you go down to accessibility, then you find read and speak. Then once you're in read and speak, you can choose the accessibility reader and turn it on. So it's
Oh,
pretty
good.
straightforward.
All right.
I'm emailing those instructions to you now, Julian.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. And let's see.
Yeah,
Yes.
I really like the reader view in Safari.
Yeah, I use that a lot too when I'm in Safari and I just want to read an article and not have to deal with all that nonsense in the way. So thanks for that, Tom. Let's see, anybody else? No hands, no nothing. All righty. Well, then maybe we're going to wrap that up. It's probably not that far from four anyway. So this will give me time to get ready and catch my ride and go pick up some AirPod Pros. Yeah. Anyway, I want to thank everybody who took the time to come be with us today. I know that it's a Saturday, it's a beautiful day. I know there's a local organization puts on this really good beach trip, which I fortunately couldn't go because of this. So I thank all those who chose to be with us here instead. Always appreciate it. Appreciate everybody who chimes in and gives information because, I'll say it time and time again. I know coming here to just listen to me is not the only thing that one wants to do here. So what makes this breaking blindness barriers thing so valuable and helpful is that we have many of you who come in with your own knowledge and expertise and experience, and you share it with everybody. So we as a group, all of us walk away knowing a little something that we didn't know walking in here. And everybody who listens after the fact or to the podcast anywhere in the world can hopefully benefit from this as well. So you are all doing a wonderful thing by increasing the knowledge base of those of us who are in the struggle of being blind and low vision every day. I always welcome suggestions for topics or speakers or anything that you want to do on here. Again, I want to, I'll give my contact info here momentarily. I want to thank everybody who listens to and follows the podcast as well. I'm glad that we're helping you. And again, the suggestion or the invitation for giving suggestions is open to all of you as well. You don't have to be a member of this group to give me a suggestion. If you're listening to the podcast, send me a suggestion and we'll consider it and we'll see if we can make it happen. My contact info again is the email help at techjv.com. That's HELP at TECH, J as in John, V as in Victor.com. My website is www.techjv.com and my phone number is 818-794-9554. I want to wish everybody a wonderful day out there. And remember, whether you remember this group or not, keep on breaking those blindness barriers or whatever barriers are getting in the way of living the life that you want to live.